This is Will.
This is Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come At It. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome.
You know what to do. Go to all your favorite web zones, all your YouTubes, your Spotify, you know, all
wherever
that good
you get
stuff.
Your content.
Wherever you get your content, go ahead and give us a like, comment, subscribe. You know, review would be nice. We do suggestions every 5 episodes, so if you want to do that, go ahead and feel free to drop a
suggestion
as well. Just to your heart's content, just do what you feel like. But we really appreciate all you guys listening, and we appreciate everyone who comments and shares our podcast as well. Wow, we got a weird one for you tonight.
I'm gonna say
this is.
I changed my mind.
Well, oh, you've changed your mind on it.
I think to challenge ourselves, to intellectually challenge ourselves.
Okay.
We are gonna do this one chronologically.
That is going to be a challenge.
Because this is
This is psychotic.
Now, here's a hot take for you. I will say, there are things about this movie, that I do genuinely appreciate.
There are some things I do too. I mean, it's not all bad. It's just mostly bad.
We'll get there. There are little things that I do think are quite solid for what this is, but this is one of the most
it's
insane things.
I would argue, like, with your hot takes and with, like, enjoying some of the stuff in it, I would argue that it's probably one of the most incoherent movies I've watched in recent memory.
It does kind of come together in a weird way, but
it does, and the plot seems pretty threadbare.
Well,
and the thing is, like, the plot is fairly simple, but the things going on in the movie
are not explained,
and so it just seems kind of all over the place.
And then when they are explained, they seemingly explain them in the weirdest.
I guess I would say ways. Like maybe like. A good way to describe it was like aloof. Like they just, it's like they had a plot, but they didn't really care too much about it. They just focused on weird scenes.
Vibes.
Yeah. Which I honestly, like, at the end of the day, I didn't absolutely hate this movie. It's a frustrating movie, especially if you want something
coherent,
which I did. So I think that's why I'm approaching it more like this. But yeah, let's get into it. Well, it's called the Soul Tangler.
This is I will always remember this because there is we go into these movies blind, so we give them a fair shake. But you know, I did glance at like one review and one sentence in there described this as a more serious version of Reanimator.
That, for, like, all the good stuff that happens in this movie, this is no fucking Reanimator.
Well, not even remotely close. But also, I mean, calling this a more, quote-unquote, serious version of Reanimator is also a deeply unusual take.
I would call this, like, if I was going to compare it to Reanimator, I would call it a deep-fried version of Reanimator.
This is a bunch of people saw Reanimator in the theater, and they had a cheap camera and their friends, and they basically scrounged up their version of Reanimator from what they just vaguely remembered seeing.
Yeah, because I mean, very vaguely, it is basically the plot of Reanimator.
Kind of, but not really.
I mean, in a way. It's just like a mad scientist experimenting on people and trying to reanimate bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give too much away yet, but if you're into some like weird shit, this is definitely up. If you want to see a movie you've never quite seen anything like, definitely go watch this movie before we get too far into it.
It is on YouTube.
It's going to be a struggle to remember everything that happened chronologically, but
lucky for you, Will. it's sticking in there.
Is this it?
I think this is going to be one of those movies that unfortunately haunts me.
I remember most of the scenes, but there's probably I'll probably need some help if you go to me to remember the plot.
Oh, that's why I am challenging us, because
yeah. So, without further ado, let's get into the Soul Tangler. So it starts with a weird fucking scene of our guy experimenting on a woman, but not really, because it's scenes of him.
It's a voiceover.
It's a voiceover, and then him splashing himself on the fucking red wall multiple times. They use that shot a lot. They really love that shot.
There's a shot of him huddled in a corner.
One sec. I gotta plug in my laptop. Sorry. One sec. I forgot.
Are we leaving this in?
Yeah.
All right.
We leave everything.
We leave no fucking bloopers. But there's a shot of him huddled in a corner, like he's going like cold turkey. And he says his name, that he works for like this institute, and that they don't appreciate his experiments for some reason.
Yeah.
But there's also like endless shots of him like with a scalpel like cutting up this woman's face.
Yeah.
And he says like that he's curing Parkinson's.
Really well known professor that like does these crazy experiments but like has breakthroughs all the time.
And
in his own words, in one of the scenes, more than he deserves.
Yeah. But it's just like,
like his colleagues would say he gets more than he deserves.
Voiceovers with footage of insanity.
Yeah.
Of complete insanity. And like they even have the shot of the skull on the table with his eyes popping out and spider on it.
That skull, I'll just tell you right now, the continuity is all over the place on that skull. Sometimes it has eyes, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it has a spider, sometimes it doesn't.
I'm not talking about continuity with this movie. It's just, it's a futile.
Yeah, that's fair.
Resistance is futile.
Just an update for you who were concerned. We are plugged in now, so
I can
do that now.
I'm glad for the one.
Yeah, so don't worry.
Whoever cared. but after that, there's a scene of a reporter outside of...
Well, so, no, doesn't it show the, like, the... Oh, no, you're right. Yeah. Because the fake news reports are next.
Because he gets fired.
Yeah, so the news reporter is... They're talking about this lawsuit against this professor.
And they are hounding this...
Like a professor, the head mistress or something
of this institute, and she's just like, no comment. Like,
yeah, she's just like, yeah, we're going through with proceedings, like we're doing the court case, whatever. But then he gets off free, I guess, because the next thing is like he.
Oh my God! They film tourist footage of Washington D.C. of him
walking down like steps of the courthouse,
and he's like, "I won my case," and I am going to go to a country that respects medicine. And then it's just him wandering across the like the Capitol Mall in D.C.
Yeah.
And then there's at some point...
So the...
We see a woman. It's like...
Jogging.
Oh, my God. No, that's after.
No.
We see the woman with the... Remember?
Does the reporter...
Yeah. It's her talking at the camera.
Yeah, so the reporter... Is basically
she's in a room,
yeah,
like a dark room, like with beakers, and I'm like, what's happening? And she's smoking a cigarette, and she's like, my father was hospitalized,
yeah.
And then we get,
it's like the dream scene, that right?
We get fucking car footage of like an abandoned something, and then it's the
asylum.
Yeah, but it's the dad.
And it's the dad.
A letter he wrote her. So yes. He's like, dear so-and-so, this doctor is really evil.
Like, I hope they shut this place down soon.
He is it's trying to get my soul.
Just like this slander letter against this professor.
He's like, he's trying to get my soul.
Because it's trying to convey that she's about to start researching him. Because she's a reporter. Yeah. Because next scene is her going to her job, and it's a chronicle because there's typewriter.
They had a name tag on the wall.
Yeah, it looks like someone's house.
It is. And my favorite is the teenager.
The 14-year-old that comes out of the
dark room.
The dark room for a like a water cooler chat.
Basically, he looks like a 14-year-old.
Well, he tells her that they didn't pick up her story.
Yeah.
And that they went with someone else on the front page.
So she's gonna write something better.
So in really bad audio, she goes and reprimands her boss and says that she deserves to be here and
I like
she
the
deserves
boss
the front page.
Because he is just he knows what's going on.
And you get an idea of like how bad the actors are for this, but it's kind of charming because they keep staring at the fucking camera and it's hilarious.
Well, plus you have the
it's one
boss
of the scenes where I like first noticed
who
it.
Who keeps blinking and he just
he's very like
it's impossible
animated
to explain it, but it's just it looks like someone's like uncle that they hired and he just kind of like he knows the movie shit.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like goofing. But yeah, she tells him like I'll write the best story and he's like, okay, if you write a good story, like I'll give you your whole column.
And she knows exactly who to research.
Then our dude comes back.
Yeah, well, it's another reporter saying that he came back because America has better scientific research.
AKA no, it has better scientific research facilities.
Oh.
AKA his basement.
Yeah, a basement.
A basement and a cabin in the woods. And
so now we get the jogging scene, right? So we see a jogger and then some creepy dude watching her.
Paul Dano.
And she keeps running and he keeps watching and she keeps running and he's watching.
She's running in slow-mo. He's watching in normal motion.
Yeah. And so she starts to run by him and he starts walking towards her and then a red Dodge van.
A creepy van jacks
pulls
her.
Beside her and jacks her.
And then
for no reason whatsoever, we also get a random scene of two innocent bystanders on the sidewalk just getting attacked.
Well, no, we get, you're forgetting, when he jacks the jogger, we presumably get, through the power
of... Oh, the
of,
guy, yeah, it was the, our dollar store Paul Dano.
Through the power of weird editing...
Gets run over by the car.
And, like, super fast camera movement.
Well, because they run the camera towards the Dodge... And then they run the camera towards his face.
Like mouth open.
Yeah.
Screaming. And then...
And I guess he got hit by the car?
Supposedly. But we don't see anything right.
But then also we get like a 5-second scene of like two people getting attacked. One guy gets hit like with a hammer and the woman gets like kidnapped.
You're missing the scene between that. With the guy outside the house. Remember when it's the guy and the woman and she's frantically looking for her keys.
Oh, right.
And
yeah.
He's outside and the dude attacks him
with a hammer and then
they tussle and then the woman finally gets her keys.
Takes her an eternity.
Goes outside, sees the husband, boyfriend, whatever, dead, presumably, and runs in her basement.
Yeah, runs in her basement and then tries to act nervous.
Tries is
there
the
was
keyword.
There was an attempt there.
She looks like she's barely in line at like In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she's like nervous, and then he finally catches up with her and kidnaps her, and then we get that scene where they get attacked on
it's
the sidewalk.
It's a couple, and they're looking at like a gift shop window.
He just hammers the guy and then fucking kidnaps the girl. And
the
that's
scene
it.
Lasts a whole 5 seconds.
I don't know why they took. This is the only scene they don't take their time with.
No, this was instant. And, oh, we also forgot, before all this, they introduce this dude. It's this guy sleeping, and this woman wakes him up and is like, the doctor is going to be here.
Yeah.
Like, you need to get up. And he's like, whatever, I don't care. Like,
it's basically like the doctor's two henchmen.
Yeah, he has a drug addiction.
He's the hammer dude. And they're kidnapping women so that the doctor can experiment on these women.
And we see him experiment on one of them with something. And he keeps talking about how she's pure. There's no drugs in her system.
Well, because at a certain point he does say he needs like young, clean women.
Yeah, not women with drugs in their system.
Does it ever explain why he needs young, clean women? No.
No.
Not at all.
And
not
then
at all.
We also get a scene of... A guy in a... I didn't know what it was at first. I thought it was another reporter.
Right.
It's a police station.
Yeah, well, so he's like a clerk. He's a clerk for the police, but we don't know that because he just keeps taking phone calls at a little tiny desk.
And his girlfriend is the reporter.
Yes, so that we have multiple scenes of them talking at like a fucking lake, and it just shows like nature scenes while they're talking.
We also get the most possibly the lamest montage I've ever seen in my life.
What, with like rock music?
To her...
I don't understand.
Struggling on a typewriter, struggling with a cigarette. The first half of this movie, I'm not kidding, the first half of this movie is voiceovers and people struggling with cigarettes, okay? Her struggling with that, and then she sits on a couch and looks at a newspaper. And I don't mean like, you know, there's important information in the newspaper. Like, she's just looking at the newspaper. And this scene lasts like 3 to 4 minutes. And that's it.
Yeah.
Montage.
I don't really understand it at all. Like, I don't really get why they did that or why it's in there. But they did. And, you know, it's a scene.
It's a scene.
And she's researching. And then all of a sudden, let's see. Is it more experiments on the women?
There's one where the guy...
Because he's, like, slicing her head and then just, like, laughs.
He's slicing her head and laughs, and, like, someone off camera sprays, like...
like, red liquid on his face.
Just, like, a gallon of blood on his face.
And so... fuck, dude. This fucking movie.
Oh, we get the scene where the woman is, because she thinks that...
Can I just take a pause real quick?
Please.
I cannot fucking believe that we are, like 16 or 17 minutes into this fucking review.
Yes.
And we've managed to remember most of the movie up until this point.
Yes. Well, I almost forgot, but I remember the very important part is because according to their research, they decide that this doctor is into like the occult.
Yeah, so...
so she's researching...
well, and it's
the
like,
devil?
Well... my God.
Devil worship?
Dude.
And she's watching the film.
She's watching a film where people are literally...
Lining
up and kissing the devil's ass. He's bent over something. They're just fucking...
kissing
giving
his ass.
It a little smooch.
And, you know, her friend's like, oh, are you okay? And she's watching all this and she falls asleep.
And she has a nightmare where she, like, rips the skin on her forearm off.
Yeah, she just completely rips it off and then wakes up and it's fine.
Yeah. And her friend's like, yeah, you good?
What's the point? There is no point.
Yeah, no, there's no point for this scene. We just know, basically, it's setting up that she has weird dreams, and sometimes they're like kind of premonitions, almost.
Yeah, but if you want an explanation for all this, you're not getting
you're
one.
You're not getting one because fuck you and...
just fuck you, fuck your dreams, fuck your hopes.
You decided to watch...
Soul Tangler.
Soul Tangler, and that's your fault. So you're going to fucking pay.
Well, the thing is, Will, when you watch Soul Tangler, you are on Soul Tangler's terms.
And...
okay? Fuck.
Yeah, it's true. So, next is, I think, another experiment.
Possibly.
Or something. Because I know it's also a scene where... It leads up to a scene where she goes to his house.
Well, actually, before that, there's the riveting scene... because this is like a more serious version of Reanimator. There's the riveting scene where him and Hammer guy, MC Hammer.
Oh, he needs a fix, right?
There's that scene where he's pounding on the desk and is like, I need a fix, I need heroin. And he scolds him like, you brought me unclean women.
See, that scene actually has a point though, because it's like, that's why he's doing what he's doing.
But there's also the other scene. The serious scene where they're dragging a body into a closet.
Yeah.
And they drag the body in the closet and they both struggle to get out the door. Do you remember this scene?
Because it's a more serious version of Reanimator.
It's a more serious version of Reanimator. Yeah. They both comically, just hilariously struggle to get through this door. And that was a scene that happened.
Yeah. It's literally like a joke, played as a joke.
It is. And then
he slices another woman open or something. And he's like, he's demanding, he's like, I need young, clean women. The last one you brought me
We get the close-up.
Was a drug addict.
We get the close-up of him pounding his...
I need young, clean women.
Young women. Young women. Right. And then, yeah, the lady reporter dresses up and says, like... She tells her friend, I guess, like... And tells her boyfriend, like, I'm going to go talk to him.
Yeah, so she decides that she's going to report on him. She's still writing this big report, right?
So she's going to go interview him.
And so she goes to interview him, and he lets her in, and then...
They start talking in his Hugh Hefner smoking jacket.
Yeah, well, and then the evil lady makes them some tea... And she spikes it with this weird, like, hallucinogenic drug.
Well, I thought it was like gonna knock her out or something, because I don't fucking know what's happening.
Well, like in any other movie, you've ever seen, when they fucking put something in the drink, it knocks the person out.
But no,
is the general rule of if you're gonna put a weird powdery substance in someone's drink.
Well, no, this is not that movie because because they do the interview. And she asks him gobbledygook questions. Well,
I do love the just throwaway dialogue where he's like...
It's garbage.
Where he's like, well, you've been calling 6 times a day and... I call that annoying. And she's like, well, that's just reporting.
No, listen. The dialogue in this, you learn nothing.
You just have to...
With
this movie, you just have to let it hit you in waves.
You
can't be concerned about
such simple things like dialogue.
You can't be concerned with the dialogue. You just have to let it just like wash over you.
You literally learn nothing in this fucking scene. The only thing of note is every time she takes a sip of the tea, they like dramatically film it for you.
I don't know.
Every time.
Well, and it's not just like once or twice. She like
multiple times.
She basically finishes the fucking drink.
But he kicks her out because he's annoyed by her questions. And so she kicks her out and he's like asking. But
she's not like knocked out yet. And he's like, did you put the whatever fucking gobbledygook medicine in that fucking tea?
I put plenty. And he's like, good. And so she's driving.
Well, and she
pulls over.
She'll possibly die.
She'll go. He says,
a more serious version of Reanimator.
Incurably insane. Get used to that. But she pulls over on the side of the road. She's having a nightmare. She is in a abandoned something. Looks like an abandoned elementary school. And a bunch of zombies start attacking her.
Yeah, well, and they're like holding like plants and flowers. One of them gets up from a fucking chair and like... It's like the fucking laziest zombies ever.
It's like so-and-so asylum, and we get awkward ADR voice over her, like, you know...
That's where my dad was.
And she gets attacked, and then she is sitting... She's laying on the side of the road, like, under a tree, and she goes home.
I love this scene.
Oh, no. She's laying there, and you hear, like...
Jessica, it's your father. Come join me in the afterlife.
And then,
he attacks her.
He attacks her. She runs
to your friend.
To the friend.
Her house where she lives.
Well, and then she's in the backyard, and friend gets attacked by the dad and gets her fucking throat ripped.
And then she wakes up for realsies in her car.
Yeah, so she's fine. So she drives
back. Does anything come of this?
No.
Nothing. And
because you know what? Again, incoherent,
absolute to the max
lunacy this movie. The scenes barely fucking connect. There is like barely anything keeping this fucking movie together.
And then we get another scene of her talking to her at the lake. Talking
with
to
her boyfriend,
she's going to go to the lab. I love
every time they're at the lake, it doesn't show them actually like having a conversation.
Barely.
It'll show them like once, and then it'll show the lake, and they'll show like plants, and then it'll show like a flower, and then it'll show like a bird flying across the fucking screen.
This is like an awkward like POV like walking shot. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's like, it will show anything but the fucking actors. It's like they're scared to fucking show the actors on screen.
Yep.
It's all ADR.
Yeah, it's just
bullshit.
ADR. And you know, she goes there to the house again, and she gets found by the hammer guy, and he takes her, and they tie her up. Then her friend calls the boyfriend and is like, hey, she's been gone for 4 hours.
No. Scenes are going to start making even less sense.
Listen, this is when the movie cracked.
It just fucking, it just unravels at this point.
No, this is when the movie comes to its glorious, glorious apex of insanity.
So the woman that's tied up, she's not tied up very well because she gets out immediately.
My favorite bit of this scene when she's tied up is there's a awkward like Halloween skeleton hanging in the room. And as she's like undoing her badly done rope around her hands,
someone is shaking it.
It's a close-up of the skeleton's face, and someone is obviously just like
shaking it.
Shaking it. What is that supposed to convey?
I don't know.
I know what it's
supposed to. Because it doesn't have any eyes, and if I mean, if you've seen the rest of the movie, you know
it's not the skeleton.
Yeah,
it's just a lab skeleton. But I know what it's supposed to convey. Well,
yeah,
joy. That's what I was feeling. But she escapes. Very easily.
I love this sequence. This like fucking Betty Hill sequence.
This is some
of events.
Nonsense, bro.
And so she goes out and she tries to go into like a cabinet, and like a fucking dead body like leans towards her.
And
like
she
a jump
puts
scare.
It back and closes the door.
Like the most like limp dick jump scare you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah.
She puts it back in
and closes the door.
She goes into the next one that has a nail, one solitary nail in it.
Holding the door closed for some reason.
I don't know why. But anyway, she like decides to Spider-Man herself up.
We don't
to
know
seal.
That yet.
Well, okay.
She just goes in there and closes the door.
Because now, with no dialogue whatsoever, the two henchmen come down.
And they look at the chair and they just like point at it like.
Well, and like she makes this like, I don't know gesture. And like, what did you do? And so they go into the one closet, and there's nothing. And then they go, they open the other closet.
Well, no, they're like,
there's a nail here.
This door is nailed shut. This is supposed to be nailed shut.
And so they open it, and the head rolls out.
And then she's like, ew.
And she kicks it, and they, like, turn on the light, and they're looking. Okay, so I want to set this up here, because, again, the logic.
Set what up?
Logic has gone out the window, because they turn on the light, and this is a small room, right? This is
it's like a little walk-in closet.
A low-ceiling, small room.
Yeah.
And we see our actor hanging from the ceiling.
Like Spider-Man.
And, like, anyone at eye level can clearly see that she is right fucking there.
Nope. They can't.
They literally just look directly past her and say there's no one in there. So they close the door again, and they nail it shut.
And then we get a shot of
our scientist guy.
Well, her boyfriend and the friend showing up. And
scene doesn't make any sense either, because she gets fucking hammered.
She gets hit with a hammer. He walks away to do something with his gun.
Yeah, well, so you presume that they took her in to get experimented on, right?
Somewhere.
Because she gets hammered.
Yeah.
But then she's not.
Well, she's.
She sort of is.
She's a zombie.
Yeah, well.
But we don't know when that happened.
But anyway, so. We also get a scene of the scientist looking in the fucking like window of the closet window and knowing the girl's in there.
And he
because
laughs.
How the fuck would you not know she's in there?
Well,
because
at this point she's just like standing. She's not Spider-Manning.
And he laughs and
grabs her.
Grabs her and then pushes her onto the fucking gurney.
And we get like a fucking 5 minute long exposition dump that makes no sense of him just like pushing her. And being like,
I mean, I get he's a mad scientist, but it's like the ravings of a fucking madman.
Well, it's just like, I gave you the same dose as I gave your father. It must be hereditary. You can handle the dose. No one else can handle the one dose, but you can handle the one dose. I will cure Parkinson's.
I
can travel from souls, and that's.
Well, and he's so we also get a scene because she's researching all this like occult stuff, right?
Her boyfriend tells her about what his grandma said.
Well, and like the eyes are the window to the soul, and the soul is the most important thing, and blah, 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 blah.
Basically,
blah.
What it comes down to is his experiments allow him to travel from body to body through eyes.
Yes, they have to be dead, but he can project himself into a dead person.
As long as they, have, eyes.
Yes.
So if you want to kill him,
you have to attack the eyes.
Yes.
And so,
that's also, by the way, this whole time, his lab, every single scene, there is a rotting, bloody corpse in the corner that no one pays any attention to.
And that stupid skull with a spider on it.
That skull is incredible. How fucking dare you?
And so,
it has like a little Chinese takeout towel under it, too. Did you? It has like goop on it. Did you see that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and so the friend shows up and the doctor like laughs and
he disappears.
Disappears.
And then the friend faints, basically. Yeah, and then she's like, "Oh, thank you. You found me." When the
friend turns into a fucking zombie
and then falls down and has a seizure.
And that's it. And then the
fucking, I get what happened now. He teleported himself into into her.
Right.
But I was just like,
but without seeing it and knowing that, it made no sense.
Well, also the fact that she's just like ooga booga and then falls down and shakes a bit is deeply comical.
Yeah, and so now the boyfriend is getting through the fucking, no, not yet.
The doctor's there again, and he grabs her, and then the boyfriend shows up, and he is like threatening.
Well, then the doctor disappears again, and then
that's when she realizes.
Well, and then our a dead redneck we've never seen before
with his guts hanging out
starts attacking them, but with the doctor's voice.
All
they did was like, hey, just wag your tongue around a lot. My favorite and laugh bit
is there's this, like, he looks at the camera, right, and they ADR him saying like, you ignoramuses are no match for my powers.
The lips don't match at all.
Nothing matches.
And so,
nothing.
Well, because they told this actor to literally just wag his tongue around and fucking like make laughing gestures.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, oh my God. There's one scene we forgot, by the way, which we'll mention after we get done with this.
Well, so then they grab a board with a bunch of nails and push it into the fucking
person's eyes. That's after he tries choking out the boyfriend with his own guts.
Yeah, so then the guy...
Like Ricky O, okay?
Then the guy fucking... The doctor projects into the fucking skull on the table.
And they pop out its eyes.
And it's a fucking brain... It looks like a brain... snail.
Oh, no, they lift up the skull and they see the brain with the eyes.
Yeah, and it's like crawling around and they smash it.
And then
he does the corpse in the corner.
And he takes out the one eyeball.
It's just like a fucking, like, a montage of them fucking, like, killing every corpse in the room.
Yeah, and then there's a part where the hammer guy shows up, like, knocks out the boyfriend and is goes back to yelling at the doctor about drugs.
Yes.
And then they start fighting, and the doctor takes.
When did they kill the woman, though?
I don't even fucking remember, dude.
Because she dies.
Yeah.
I can't even remember how. I don't even know, dude.
The doctor grabs a hatchet and chops like half the guy's head off.
Yes.
So he's dead, and then the doctor teleports into that body, and the woman takes like two ice picks and pokes both of those eyes, and then the doctor's there, like everyone's dead.
Did we talk about the body on the gurney that was covered by that has like the half face?
Yeah, it
because it has one eye.
Yeah,
too.
It also, they pop that one out too.
But it has like half a face and its tongue is all over the place, and the doctor's voice is coming from it.
They do that, and then everyone's dead except the doctor's like laying there, and the woman walks over and pokes his eyes out, and then the cops show up, and they're like, stop it, stop it. And then we get a fucking comically long scene.
It's him at like a coffee shop.
No, it's after that, all the cops are outside the house.
Oh, right, yeah, sorry.
And This scene is pointless. Pointless.
I know. Most scenes in this are pointless.
It's all the cops out there, and they're like talking like, there's so much blood, there's so many bodies. And then like a doctor walks up and he's like, yeah, they're all dead. Everyone's dead. And then the chief shows up and they're like, oh no, not the chief. And then the chief's like, I hold you responsible for this. This is not getting out to the press. I'm holding you responsible. And he's like, yes, I will take responsibility. I hold you responsible. This, I'm not joking. Yep. This scene goes on for like 5 minutes and I'm just like, the point?
Okay.
There is no point. It just ends.
Well, and then we get the coffee shop scene of them. And again, a very long scene.
Of them talking about what happened.
With terrible audio, just talking about what happened.
And the whole time, by the way.
And they're just joking about what happened and like being like, that was crazy, right? That was really crazy. And
talking about how now, you know, she's all successful and everything's great. And the whole time this scene's happening, there's weird reaction shots of the other diners.
Yeah.
Like one guy takes off his sunglasses and just kind of like looks around. There's one woman who has like weird like triangle eyeglasses and she just like sits there like,
I don't understand the scene at all.
It goes nowhere. Pointless. End.
And then for no reason whatsoever, because again, this movie made so much sense before, we get like the asylum and they're wheeling out a guy
with a bandage over his eyes
and two bloody circles where his eyes are, and he screams at the camera and movie.
Now, any logical human being is like, that's the mad doctor.
But you would think, but it looks nothing fucking like him.
No joke, when they show the thing at the end, because it's literally a 1 millisecond shot that they freeze frame, it looks like a woman.
Yeah, it's like a blonde woman.
Middle-aged woman.
And he was like brown-haired.
Exactly.
So it's not the same fucking... Is it supposed to be like her dad?
I think the movie's insane. But we forgot one scene.
What scene?
The scene that was true insanity. The reason we forgot is because it has nothing to do with the plot, really.
Are you noticing a thread here? None of these fucking scenes have anything to do with the plot.
This especially. The scene with the other woman... Where they're having wine.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck was that?
It's like him getting like pushed off a board, but it's like he's already been fired at this point. So what the fuck is the point of this scene?
It's him. So it's like him talking about this woman that fired him or something. And again, you're just like, is this the one from the beginning? Because it certainly doesn't fucking look like the one from the beginning.
Yeah.
And they're having wine. They're sitting in the most basic bitch room on the planet. But I'm like, is this supposed to be like a restaurant? Is this supposed to be a nice dinner? Because it literally looks like they're sitting in someone's fucking basement.
Yeah.
And he's like pouring wine and they're drinking wine and staring at each other. And the whole time there's...
It's ADR.
No, there's a voiceover dialogue. Argument.
Yeah.
ADR of him and her. They are not talking in the scene.
No, not at all.
But they are arguing.
And then at a certain point, at the very like, almost towards the end of the conversation,
that's after a 1 minute long shot
yeah.
of her staring at him and making an angry face.
Well, then they start talking, but the dialogue doesn't match up from
at
what they're saying.
All.
And then all of a sudden, I thought the print we watched was like corrupted or something.
My brain's broke.
She gets up and the audio somehow like snaps back in
when she slaps him.
Yeah, and then he just laughs.
And they ADR the laugh to match him laughing on screen.
But that woman never shows up in the movie ever again.
We never see anything.
The dialogue literally has nothing to do with what's going on in the movie. So it's just like this fucking, just a scene.
That's the movie. Oh, and my favorite bit, the end credits music.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's just... They just, like, had one of the... They just were like, hey, do your best zombie impersonation.
It's like a metal song with just some dude going... What do you say? What do you say about that?
This movie is insane.
Now, I did mention that, you know, there are bits of this that I do think I do legitimately appreciate. So,
let's go over positives.
I'll say this. I do like the gore.
The gore is appreciated because they go really heavy with it.
Like there's a lot. I mean, honestly, especially after the first like hour of it, there's definitely a lot more gore than I expected.
I would also argue the effects at the end are fairly good for like a shot on shittio, like because there's a lot of like surprising amount of like animatronics and
animatronics and like guts and gore and
it looks for the quality of the film, it looks really good for this quality.
Yeah.
I would say like it's definitely this last part is where I get kind of like the Reanimator vibes, right?
Sure.
Cause it goes for the gore, it does weird shit, like there's different like body horror shit going on. And it looks pretty fucking good for the quality of movie this is.
Yeah.
So I will say that. That is a good positive. Also, it's very entertaining how bad this movie is at times.
That's not a positive, though.
No, it's not. But I'm saying, like, it's like...
Because I do have...
There are certain scenes where it's so bad it's good. Because it's like, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that... I'm turning it into a positive because it is so bad that you enjoy it, because how could you not? It's just fun to make fun of this movie.
Oh, I do have another positive one.
Yeah, what's up?
I actually, hot takes, but you know, I appreciate these things. I do like some of the cinematography.
Can I give another hot take? I thought the doctor was for the role he had, did a pretty decent job.
I don't know if I can say that. I will say one thing.
I'm not going to say he did amazing.
It's weird because I can't, I don't know if I could say he did a good job, but he did something. Does that make sense?
Like he gave it his all. You could tell he was the one that was actually trying in the movie.
Well, actually, no. He had to
act like fucking crazy.
That's a lie. My favorite actor was actually the guy who played the drug addict, because he knows what's going on.
When he slams on the table.
But... like the cinematography, there's a lot of like, it kind of reminded me of Evil Dead, where there's a lot of those like fast, like POV, like first person shots. There's a lot of like energy going on.
Well, even like simple stuff where like he's moving his hands, that like they'll do like this like sweeping weird like juddery like filming.
Yeah. And there's like when she's in the, getting attacked by zombies, they do like a pretty like fast like 360 camera thing.
I would say some of the camera work is actually pretty
like for
decent.
Something like this, they're definitely working a bit.
There were certainly there's things that surprised me how good they were in this quality of a movie. Now to the negatives, because holy shit, there's more. There's a lot more than positives.
Is there anything that even needs to be said? This is nonsense.
No, this movie makes no fucking sense.
This is absolute nonsense.
It's just fucking like, it's just like, just splattered all over the fucking screen. Like, there's like no rhyme or reason to the editing in this fucking movie.
This legitimately reminded me of when we watched Help Me, I'm Possessed.
Yeah.
Because it operates on pure... people call it, like, the people talk about dream logic. This was, like, someone's fucking nightmare logic or something.
It's like the editor was like, okay, I got the plot, right? So I'm going to take all these scenes, and I'm going to fucking put them in a hat and just shake them up, and there you go.
But that assumes, Will, that they filmed a movie that made sense to begin with.
Well, no, they didn't. But that's the thing. I'm just saying, like, the through line in this movie... is like fucking bent to shit. There is no fucking like straight line to the end, right?
No, they don't bother.
They don't fucking bother. They just fucking do whatever they want, put whatever scene they want in the next. And that's another thing where it's like, you never know what the fuck you're going to see next.
At all.
Because it could be anything. It could be a montage of her typing and reading a newspaper, or it could be him experimenting on bodies and getting sprayed in the face with blood
and laughing.
Or fucking, you know, it could be a scene of them talking at a nature reserve with a bunch of nature shots to fucking him bouncing around to fucking different corpses and them tearing out eyes on shit. There's no fucking, like...
logic?
Logic, or like game plan here. It's just fucking thrown together. It's so haphazard in the fucking, like, way it's made. It was insane.
It's haphazard, but it is made well.
Well, I mean, it's a movie, and we watched it, and it's a feature length, and it was
released.
It was at least an hour and 30 minutes long.
And
there's lots of padding.
We so watched it.
Hopefully you like padding because there's lots of fucking scenes that go way too long.
See, this is one of those movies that is going to... It's clearly going to haunt my brain to such an extent that by the time we get to the end of 87, I think this is going to be kicking around in my brain for a certain category.
Yeah.
Because...
You can guess which one.
Holy Lord. That was impressive.
No, same. Because, I mean, it's such a uniquely stupid movie that, you know, you can't help but think about it like, huh.
I watched that.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, literally.
And you, so...
Like, people talk about, you know, experimental films and weird underground indie stuff. Listen, we've seen over 250 movies on this podcast.
Yep.
And it's still... movies like this come along and just... I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, no, same. I've never quite seen anything... even remotely like this.
No.
So, if you're new here, we do Shitty to Pretty.
Yeah.
It's a rating from 1 to 10. It's entertainment value. 1 being incomprehensible, unwatchable garbage.
Boring.
And boring and just not worth your time at all. And 10 being a masterpiece.
Yes.
Of entertainment. What would you give... The Soul Tangler.
My current, as of today, rating, just
is straight, it subject to change?
Well, like I said, by the time we get to the end of 87, because there's those movies that we watch on this podcast, and you know, I give one take, and then we get to the end of the year, and I kind of think more back, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that's actually.
Well, see, my thing is with that, I compare them to the other movies that would have been in that category.
Yeah.
And then my opinion kind of changes.
Yeah. Because then it's like you realize, oh, right, we've seen other things.
Well, because we don't know what we're going to get in the rest of the year.
But for now, I'm giving it an 8.
An 8? Wow.
I am giving it an 8.
It's 8. That's higher than I thought it would
now,
be.
Why an 8? Because there are those dull, again, not a lot. Because there's enough weird shit for me that I'm not gonna give it lower than that, but there's definitely moments of like, okay, nothing's happened.
I would agree. I'm giving it a 7, just because there was some deeply stupid scenes that and there was times I wish it would fucking end.
That's the fun of it.
Now that doesn't. No, that's why I'm only giving it a point less, because I feel like you enjoyed those scenes more than I did.
I just like pain.
But it's like there's some very, very frustratingly long scenes that will never fucking end, and you're praying for them to end, and they don't.
See, for me, it's like the scenes that I think of is like, you know, the conversations at the fucking park with the couple.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, okay. This could be wrapped up in 5 seconds. Like, we can move on.
You could argue there was no need for that scene.
Well, it's just like, okay, they're a couple, they're investigating this, and, you know, his grandma said this thing about eyeballs. Okay, that's like, they're 30 seconds, okay?
Well, what I mean is you could have cut the fucking montage of her fucking typewriting.
No.
No.
I will never cut that out, because that is...
I'm just saying,
like I said,
a normal movie would have combined... The boyfriend telling her weird shit with like her researching it.
No. Like I said, I've never until this day. Every other movie that has a montage, there's a point, right?
Yeah.
Like when Rocky movies have montages, he's training. Okay. Right. There's like something happening.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Cobra had a montage where he's investigating all the crimes, and they introduce the female character, right?
Yeah.
It's like there's a point.
Right.
They're condensing something into like a 4-minute music video for you.
Yeah.
This is the only movie I can think of that does that for a scene that has no point.
Yeah.
And that is mind-blowing to me. Like, that is next-level brain rot. Because no one would fucking do that.
No. No one in their right mind... A filmmaker in their right mind would not, never do that.
No filmmaker who understands, like, film and structure and audience expectations would ever do that. They would just be like, no, get this out of the way. Like, or have her actually doing research.
Yeah.
Like, have scenes of her watching the film with the devil's ass kissing, you know?
I was just going to say, like, I've yet to see a film other than this one where we literally see footage of people lining up to kiss the devil's ass.
You know what's funny is that scene happened in this movie, and I probably wouldn't even put it in the top five most insane moments.
Yeah.
Think about that.
The devil ass kissing scene isn't even in the top five insane
moments. Top five most insane moments of this fucking garbage movie.
Yeah, I know. It's a good one. Soul Tangler. Entertaining garbage. Get some beer, get some friends. It definitely probably is more enjoyable with alcohol. You need some form of libations.
See, that's the funny thing is, like, we were talking about this before the podcast, but it's like we've watched, you know, over 250 movies, and despite that, like, every movie always offers something new.
Yeah.
Some new entertainment, some new excitement, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I mean, you never know what you're going to get on this podcast. That's the greatest thing about it.
Because that's the thing. Is like, everyone always says the worst thing you can be is boring.
Yeah, and I don't think we're there yet.
And this movie, holy fucking shit.
Well, like, Savage Water is boring, right?
Yes.
Savage Water is fucking boring.
Savage Water is boring. I mean, Black Devil Doll from Hell, like, fucking Twin Dragon Encounter.
I would say, yeah, Black Devil Doll from Hell is a completely different category of just...
Because those, they have similar... They're both, like, cheap-ass fucking...
Yeah.
Shit garbage, but at least this, like... There is creativity. I don't know what they're going for, and I think the person who made this might be, like, severely mentally deranged.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, they didn't force me to sit through their fetish film.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right?
With the bacon tongue, yeah. So thank you.
So thank you for that, and thank you for listening.
Yes.
I think that's about it. I think we're going to wrap it up.
Until next time.
For They Mostly Come Out at Night, this has been Will.
This has been Alex.
We'll talk to you all later. Remember to give the devil a little ass kiss tonight.
Right on the cheeks.